Listen to Nehemiah chapter 1, Nahek Bay, text 27. Vaidak dini karamba chumbitatia samdaya sarojvada kanindya katinadya balabhapatya divyanti goshtantare radhe punya bhati shika manyarasi shamo dari kambina renkanti na parasu yan maduri maduri povar jistatra jistirmaya. In this particular verse, Rupa Goswami is revealing a small conversation, let's say statement, made by Vrinda. And Vrinda is describing, of course, Krishna and his attachment to her. Vrinda Devi, she, by nature, by her temperament, by her mood, her feeling, she's called Krishna Sneha Adik. She has extra or additional love. She loves Radharani immensely and serves her in every possible way, Vrinda Devi. But she has extra or more love for Krishna. So when you study a little closely the Leela Granths of the Goswamis, you'll see when oftentimes Vrinda is taking the side of Krishna to support him, whereas the other Manjis or Sakis are supporting Radharani. So her true color comes out in certain leelas. She'll support Krishna. But here in this verse, she's assuring Radhika that her sweetheart, Shyam, is loyal and true to her alone, which is good news for any lover. If you hear that your beloved is loyal and true to you, because this is one type of Nayak Bhav, one type of loving mood of a hero, a romantic lover, is anukul, very favorable, positive, trustworthy to some extent. So Vrinda says this. Vrinda Devi says to Radharani, O Radhika, none of the splendidly beautiful Brajagopis, expert at the art of kissing, have become the amorous lovers of Krishna, who's the king of the Gopis. O slender waisted Radharani, she, that's in the verse, Krishavari, you are the crest jewel of all pious girls. Except you, I've never seen Krishna even glance at any other girl. So this is obviously a clear proof to encourage Radharani to meet with Krishna and show her the extent Krishna's attachment to her. Vrinda Devi is just reassuring her that her love is supreme and that Krishna is completely faithful. And text 28. Now, again, we're hearing about the anukulya, a favorable hero. But here, there's four types of heroes. There's the arrogant hero, and the chivalrous hero, and different types, I forget just now. Dear Prashant, there's a carefree hero, and the chivalrous hero, and the arrogant hero, and submissive hero, I think, like this. Dear Lalita, dear Prashant, dear Ardhata, and dear Rupata. So, in each one of those, these four aspects are seen. A little complicated, but when you read the whole book verse by verse, it all fits together. So then, continues more description on Anukula. Kavalya Drisha Sangeeta Stadrik Anchalakoshalaya. Text 28. Manasija Kavanati Prashtavanam Abhitanvatam Vakila Gatate Radha Ranga Prasanga Vidayata Vrata Virasite Shatilasya Again, now Vrinda Devi is not speaking to Radharani, but Vrinda Devi is speaking to another Sakhi. Vrinda Devi said, one time the lotus-eyed gopis were waiting to meet with Krishna, or they're waiting at the rendezvous. They're trying to lure Krishna away from his journey to Radharani by expertly reciting from the corners of their eyes various and artistic verses from a romantic this is an analogy to the romantic drama of their friendship with him. Krishna simply ignored their sidelong glances. He did not slacken for a second his intense eagerness to meet Radharani and enjoy pastimes with her in Vrajabhumi. So what this verse is saying, it's written by Rupa Goswami, verse 28, chapter 1. So he's saying, Krishna's coming down the footpath to meet Radharani in a particular Sanket Kunj. Then Padma and Shaibya and some of the other gopis from Chandravali's party, they're waiting just near that path. And they see Krishna coming, and when he gets near them, then they look away like, oh, very shy, that we shouldn't look at this man because we're married. They covered their faces a little bit, looked away. Then when Krishna got nearby, then they turned just enough to all of them cast glances at Krishna. Come, come. So the analogy, Rupa Goswami says that just like in the beginning of a Sanskrit drama, a Prashtavan, Prashtavan is like the announcer or the introducer. Okay, it's called Shrutidhara. Tonight, in this drama, we will see this and that and this and that. So they're trying to invite, it's the invocation of the opening of the romantic, the drama of romance. So they're trying to make the, establish the beginning of the drama, but with their sidelong glances, acting as the announcer. Please, come, Chandravali is waiting for you just over in this kunj, not that kunj. So please come with us. So Krishna just keeps on going, just looks like this. Sometimes we offer this mantra card to someone. Here, it's a gift for you. Indian way of saying, get lost. Get lost, I don't want it. I go like this. There's so many mudras in India. So Krishna, where do they originate? They originate from Krishna. He can move his neck like a peacock and make his eyes move like fish and he can dance like anything. So this is a variegated personality of Krishna. So this Vrindadevi is giving this statement, Jiva Goswami comments. Krishna's on the pathway going to meet Radharani. But there are many other gopis waiting along the path in various bowers, giving signals to Krishna. Kind of like a modern equivalent of that. Krishna has an appointment with Radharani in the Kunja. So he's on time. He's on time. He's very excited and eager to meet Radharani. But the other gopis, besides Radharani, are also very eager to meet him. As much as he's eager to meet Radharani, Chandravali is eager to meet him. Almost as much. Not that much. Otherwise, he may meet with her. So then, Krishna's on his way to Radharani. And then all these gopis are waiting by the path. Oh, excuse me. Where are you going so fast? I think you're not going the right direction. Actually, the kunj is over here. You got on the wrong path. The Sanket Kunj is there. Oh, really? Thanks. Then he walks in. Oh, Chandrava. You could say the modern equivalent would be a man driving his car on his way for an appointment with his lover. And while he's driving, all of a sudden he hears beep. He looks and there's a message. Oh, what are you doing right now? Where are you going? Where are you? I'd like to see you. Oh, yeah. So then another kilometer down the road, another beep, and it's, oh, I have to stick to my goal here. So Krishna has a hard time getting to Radharani's heart. So many other beloved sweethearts want to steal his heart to offer to the heart of their dear Yudhishthiras, who are not Radharani. So this is, Krishna has a tough time. They're giving signals to him. Women, they have something called signals. Women have the ability to send signals to men. You know that? It seems that the men know about it. I mean, they can tell you. They can write a whole lot of books about it also. So that's what he says, speaking of Swami. A Christian is not affected by those women. Though these gopis, they obstruct Krishna with many tricks. He does not, although the Braja gopis obstruct Krishna with many tricks, he does not become angry, but keeps remembering Srimati Radharani. It seems that Krishna has as much trouble keeping his mind on Radharani when he's on the path as we have when we're trying to chant japa and keep our minds on Radharani and Krishna in a holy name when we're going down the path of bhakti. We're walking on the bhakti marga, and one attraction is pulling us there, another one there. So Krishna, he's not chanting japa, but the object is the same. He's running down to meet Radharani. So when Radha and Krishna meet, then that's the mantra. So we're running down the same pathway, chanting Krishna's name, but all these gopis, if you want to call them gopis, but all these wayward thoughts and material desires and wrong thinking are pulling us in different directions. But Krishna shows the good example. So many tricks, the mind tries to obstruct our chanting with so many tricks and so many allurements and distractions. Don't become angry with your mind. Just keep the goal in mind. Pull your mind back to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and keep chanting. So that's what Krishna does. Oh, no. Radharani chan, Radharani chan, Radharani chan. He just thinks, oh, Radharani feet, Radharani feet. Oh, yes. Then he just closes his eyes. Like Ulysses in Greek mythology, Ulysses was tied to the mast of a sailboat because of the sirens. And the nymphs on the island in the ocean were trying to lure him off the path of his, turn the ship upside down. So Krishna is cruising to Radharani, and the various sirens, that's where the word, English word siren, S-I-R-E-N, comes from, the fire engine, police car, it's called siren, but it comes from a Greek word, S-Y-R. I am something. They're Greek mythology, what they call it. The Western people call Greek mythology. They also call what we're doing Hindu mythology. So we're looking at the Greeks and saying, this is Greek mythology. But the Western professors look at them and us as followers of Hindu mythology. The myths, the mythology of the Bhagavat. And the mythology of the Mahabharata. For us, it's Shastra Praman. It's a Purusheya Shastra, transcendental truth and substance that shapes our very existence and leads us toward the goal that we all desire, which is love for Krishna, which is not mythology, but it's the highest ontology. Highest theology or the highest ontology is to love Krishna. It's not a myth. It's reality. And Krishna says in Gita, that which is real is eternal. Asato bhavato nandya is one verse, asa and sat. That which is temporary is unreal, and that which is real is eternal. So Krishna is real, and he's eternal. And we'll eternally chant his holy name and eternally serve him when we finally realize who we are. That will be the ultimate reality. So it's real. So he doesn't become angry. And then Krishna's anukulya, which is the subject we're discussing, is clear from his remembrance of Radha about giving up all others. It's very interesting. This is an aspect of the Nayak. Nayak means the romantic hero. Krishna's a Nayak. It's anukulya. So this term, it's amazing, this word is a very popular concept among sadhakas and practitioners. Anukulya. It appears in many places in our shastras and our lives. In the definition of Uttam Bhakti, anukulya is there. And everywhere, anukulya. What is favorable? Accepting what is favorable and surrender. Anukulya sthi sankalpa pratipalabhista. Six symptoms of surrender. We have to accept what is favorable. So on our level, at the lowest level, we're doing anukulya. We're anukul. Kul means my family. My family, my interest. Like gurukul, gurukul. Kul means family, interest, group. And anu means it follows my interest. It behooves me or is good for me. Anukul. So pratikul means against my family. Prati means yes. Manakalya Sisankalpa means we accept everything that's favorable to serve Krishna, remember Krishna, and go to Krishna, and be with Krishna, and associate with Krishna. So that's what we're doing as a sadhakas. It's a constant battle with the senses, the war against Maya. Accept Krishna and reject Maya. So here, Krishna is accepting Radharani and rejecting Yoga Maya. Because Yoga Maya is trying to arrange for Krishna to meet with other gopis. So he's doing anukulya because he's exhibiting the quality now, at least, of an anukulya nayak, being very favorable to Radharani. And he's accepting that which is favorable and rejecting that which is unfavorable. So the unfavorable are the enticing sidelong glances of the Virud party, the opposing party of Chandravali and Padma and Shaikya, who are trying to allure him away and kidnap him and take him away from this love journey at Abhisar. So this, we do anukulya also. So we can relate. Krishna has to face so many distractions. Krishna is practicing the six limbs of devotion, of surrender. But his object is Radharani. And we're practicing the six limbs of surrender and our object is Krishna. Except everything is favorable for Krishna. But if we become favorable to Krishna, that's also the meaning of pure devotion. Then we're back again to the word anukulya. Right? So what is that? Anyabhivashita shunyam jnana kama vinambitam anukulyena krishnana shilanam vatutinam. So everything we do should be anukulya for Krishna, and everything Krishna does should be anukulya for Radharani. So ultimately, when we become liberated, everything we do will be anukulya for Radharani Krishna. Favorable to Radha and Krishna and please them. See if there's some other ideas of anukulya. He's remembering Radha while giving up all others. Let's see what it says. And there's some more here, next verse 29. Now, Purnamasi is describing Krishna's anukulya of nature to Nandi Mukhi. Nandi Mukhi is the sister of Madhumangal. So, what does she say? She says, Kahanad anuragata vitrebhyam apanita devahara kritabhara viharam saharadaya murarya yamanakur vanan yalam chakara. So it says Murari, the last line says Viharan, Vihar, like Vihari, Viharan Saharadaya, Murariya, Yamuna Kula, Vanan, Van, Alam Chakara. Krishna is Murari is incessantly playing with Radha in the forest on the bank of the Yamuna. So this is verse 29, which is translated like this. Krishna is no longer enjoying pastimes with Yashoda and Nanda, but out of deep affection. Now Krishna is decorating the forest, Kunja, beside the Yamuna. He's decorating the forest beside the Yamuna by enjoying pastimes with Radharani. So that's says Alam Chakara. He's decorating. So this is an example of Krishna's completely submitted himself to Radharani. And now he's with her. And then we'll continue. Basically, we're just trying to different examples to show the different tattvas of this rasa tattva. And then there's some commentary, small commentary by Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami says, on the pretense, every day Krishna takes cows out, but that's only a pretense. That's only an excuse to get out of the palace and get out in the forest. He says, Krishna, with the pretense of herding cows, to play in Red Raj. But actually, herding the cows is one thing he's doing, but playing with Radharani is the actual objective. So he says, and when Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, they provide many alternative suggestions and some obstacles to Krishna every morning, because this is Nitya Lila. Why do you have to go out? We have so many house servants, so many gwals, so many coward men can take out the cows. Why do you have to do it? You're the Yuvaraj. You're the son of the king of Braj. Your feet are so tender, they're softer than butter. We know, we bathe you, your feet are so tender. And you're a king, so you're not tough. You know, if you're, you know, they're strong, but they're not, they're also sensitive and highly developed in human beings, kings, rajas, and brahmins. Just like you see here, that they have a fine sense of elegance mixed with a courageous, generous, charitable nature. So they know that he's actually very gentle. And he's Krishna, he's God, he's not some ordinary kshatriya. And they really, they don't even think of him like a kshatriya, they just think of a tender little butter soft baby coward boy. But we know that he's just some of Vasudeva also. So then he says, that's just a pretense. He really wants to play with Radharani. So this shows how much Krishna is controlled by Radharani's love. Because every day he has to take all these cows out. He has to take out Krishna has to arrange for and take out 9 million cows just to meet one girlfriend. And that's a lot of problem to organize it. And it doesn't just have one flute to do it, he has 3 flutes. Mostly uses the Venu for the cows, but it depends. So then they don't like, some cows don't like the music from the Venu, so then he has to play the Vamshi. Everyone has a different taste in music, right? Some people like this and that. So the cows are the same. They're beautiful ladies, beautiful girls. They're devotees. Some like traditional ragas and some like pop and rock and whatever. So then Krishna, some like really deep sounds, so then Krishna plays the murali. Very deep sounds, and some like high-pitched sounds, because some go very far away, and then he has to call them at the venue. So a lot of arrangement just to meet Radharani. You can imagine that you have to organize, just to meet your girlfriend, you have to arrange and collect and blow the flute and take 1 million cows practically out of the bar and get them on the road. Okay, come on, let's go. And you're walking behind them, and cows don't run too fast, they walk really slow. And Krishna's not leading the cows are leading Krishna. And they're not only walking slow, but sometimes they say, oh, look at that, that's really tall green grass. Then zoop, one cow goes there, and one cow goes there. Hey, come on. So Krishna's walking down a path like this. You know, and you're just thinking, oh, rada, rada, rada. Oh, let me go this way. Do you that way to collect that cow, and then run over that way. I watched the gwals. Sometimes they're taking the cows out, and one cow runs off in the field. And then the man is chasing all around the field, trying to get the cow back, and the cow is running here and there, tail up in the air. So the whole procession stops, and all the other cows stop, and they're looking at the young, frisky one. The young, frisky one is leaping and bounding around the fields, and the coward man is chasing all over the place. It's really funny. Get back in line. So that's okay with 5 or 10, but imagine 1 million. 50 go that way, 500 go that way. And every second seems like a million years. You ever heard of that prayer? I think so. So that same Gauranga is that same Krishna. So 1 minute without Radharani is like a yuga. This is, of course, then Radharani's praying that prayer, but Krishna feels the same way. Gauranga's and Radhabha crying out for Govinda Virahiname. So Radharani has Govinda Virahiname and Krishna has Radha Virahiname. That's what they say when you have a particular vision or a particular heart, then you see everything like that. If you're greedy, then you see the world is full of opportunities to increase your wealth. If you're lusty, you see the world is full of opportunities to fulfill your lusty desires. If you're sabab, or your nature is envious, and wherever you go, you see envious people. But if you're like the Brahman or the self-realized, wherever you look, you see Atman. And the Atman is actually you. We're also Atman. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmaniga vihashtani shri jaiva sabakeja panditat samadarshana. There's no envy, there's nothing. He just sees everywhere is Atma. I am Atma, everywhere is Atma. Every Paramatma. It's in Bhagavad Gita. The learned man. So Viharan, like we say, Bunky Bihari, he's Bunky, he's bent in three ways, in his neck and his waist and his knees, but he enjoys like anything. Because I guess to enjoy, you have to be a little bent. You're too straight and narrow, you can't really enjoy. You know, if you're too straight and narrow, you have to be a little bent and a little crooked. So Krishna walks in a crooked way, speaks in a crooked way, and everyone knows that he really acts in a very crooked way. Very playful, chalak, balak. So the word bihar is in the present tense. Now time to indicate that Krishna is controlled by Radharani. Since Krishna plays Biharan only to give pleasure to Radharani. When Krishna was young, he would dance. He loves to dance. Dance and romance, they go together. And we saw Krishna. So when he was young, he could hardly walk on his little chubby legs. So cute. And I don't know what was bigger, his chubby legs or his chubby belly. He's very chubby. And then the ladies would gather in the gokul, and they'd say, oh, Lala. And they would clap their hands and sing some nice song. Nanda Lala said, whatever. They said, listen, if you dance, then we'll give you a bhaja. This is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In the Vatsalya chapter, parental love. If you dance nicely, we'll give you a ladu. So then the gopis, you must have heard various Braj gopis sit down on Amavasya or Ekadasi in front of their favorite Thakurjit, and then they sing many beautiful Brajvasa songs about Krishna and Radharani. So if anyone wants to get that gopi bhav, then they have to go where it is. So gopi bhav is in the heart of the gopis. Naturally. So the gopis are all over Vrindavan and they're born here. And they really show their stuff because you don't even see them, hardly. These married ladies, these Brajavadu, they only come out on Amavasya or Amavasya, Akadasi sometimes. And they 10, 12, 15, even 20 get together. Sometimes newly married ones and old ones. And they all sit. One lady plays Dolak. And they all sing these fantastic songs with so much bhava and so much praying. Many, many births they've been born to develop that type of bhava. And they're going out at the end of this life, they'll go to Krishna. So when you sit there and listen, and Krishna will reveal what they're saying, but to some extent, greater or lesser extent, two or three things can happen at that experience. One is you understand very clearly what they're saying. And two is you understand what they're feeling. And three is you understand what they're saying and desiring. And four is you can see what they're singing about. These are different levels of experience someone's preem bhaja when you're sitting near them and they're singing. One great saint said that singing about God is self-realization. I don't know like that. I really like that very much. Singing about, in other words, Krishna Mahima, Krishna Kirti, Sankirtan. I mean, singing about God, what is Harinam Sankirtan? So we just said a brief, singing the glories of God means self-realization, or you can rephrase it and say, means you're self-realized. And there are many people like that. And when people do that, When people sing about God day and night, at least in the India, they often say they give the person a name. There's no one singing about God day and night. Everyone's singing about Maya. So when someone does that, then they say he's Pagal, Pagal, Pagal Baba. And then if he sings really good songs with lots of sweetness and leelas, then they say he's Rasik Pagal. And there's one great Sangeet Baba, Tyagi Sadhu in Vrindavan, who is madly sings about Radha way before he was discovered. He's been madly singing about Radharani, especially in Krishna, and Raj Leela since his young boy. But now he's somehow, Radharani wants him to be very famous. He'll be in Radhakund in about 6 days in the Manipur Radhagovinda temple, right before the Gopi Kuwa. We went there one day for darshan. Big old, big huge building, old building, 200 years old, king. So he'll perform there and go Gopasami and sing the glories of Radharani. A big program they're having, you'll see pretty soon. So this is Krishna, we're hearing about his glories, Anukulya Nature. In text 30, chapter 1. Pradnos pasti vidotava pranayata purina vesham gati shama devasya katam gunopi Agaripo drug adya sanchakrame buddhi pasha viveka kushalavati kristi shamor shamor karani vage tasya mrigakshi vruda vinaya murtishcha dirochvala. Text 30. Here, Vishakha Sakhi is whispering in Radharani's ear. And where is this going on? Now you have to really see all this. This is going on right now. 3:36 to 6 o'clock. Radharani is, look, you can still see the dust in the air from the gopi's feet running away to Suryakund. They're running north, that way north, going north. And because Chatila is waiting for them in the Surya temple. So now they've arrived there finally, and they take, before they walk in the door of the temple, all the Sakhis and Radharani take a deep breath. And then they walk in like, oh, hi. Everything's fine. I was not running for the last hour. Just like this. So then Chatila is standing right next to Radharani. So at that very crucial time in the Surya Mandir, right now, about 4 p.m. in the afternoon, this Aparam Leela, the Vishakha says something to glorify Krishna. Because Krishna is suddenly appeared in a new form. He's become the universal Brahman, Vishwa Sharma. Quite an interesting depiction they give of this Vishwa Sharma in the little animation cartoons called Little Krishna. Rather interesting look he has. I'm not quite sure that's what he looked like, but certainly a cute little getup he has on there. Very funny. So anyway, Krishna, I think it looks a little more traditional looking. Kusha grass ring on his hand and chadar over his shoulder and zigzag dhoti and those type of things. And his long hair, and you know how the Brahmins say, look, he looks like that, not like some cartoon figure. Looks very elegant. Just imagine the best looking Radharaman Pajari you ever saw. The best one. then multiply that times 50 zillion, and then more. And that's something like what Krishna the Brahman looked like. That's worth meditating on. So that would be a great fruit of the meditation. So Vishakha says that now here we are, we're in Suryakunda, you're standing just behind Vishakha, especially us, because we're in our Satigan. And what does she say to Radharani? This is what we want to know. We're all in suspense to try to understand. So she says, "Oh, Dhyaya Radharani, do you know that Krishna is so full of love for you that just to get your darshan here, look what he's done. He's disguised himself as a Surya Upasaka. He's disguised himself as a Surya Devata Purohit, as a priest, a worshiper of the sun god. And suddenly, how is it possible that suddenly he's attained all the qualities of a Pukka Brahmin? P-U-K-K-A, Pukka. Pukka Brahmin. How is it possible? A few minutes ago he had food in his left hand, and he was eating the food from his left hand with his right hand. That's very Brahminical, yes? Like this. Not only his hand, but he thought, I should make everything mochi. So my hand is mochi because I have yogurt there, and rice, and some dahi, and all mixed together, very nice. But then, that's a little boring. So between my fingers, because I want to make my fingers dirty also. So between my fingers, I have some tantuli pickle, achar, a special fruit that grows in brush, tantuli. It's between my fingers, four there, and then maybe five even. And then I'm walking with the boys, oh, look at that, no. Oh, hey, Subal. Really, Brahminical. So now, that's what Krishna's like, the light switch, you know, 1 minute it's dark, you turn on the switch and this light comes on. So 1 minute he's just, he's standing in a cow dung and wrestling in a cow, he's got cow dung in his hair and he's just a sight for sore eyes. Next minute, Swaha! The Krishna's really, that's why Vishakha is saying, look at this! Guy hasn't cleaned his fingernails in 10 years. And now he's a Brahmin doing a puja. This is unbelievable. Look! How crazy he's becoming. Because he wants to meet you so bad. He'll do anything. That's really Anukulya Nayak. A faithful lover to the maximum degree. And then she says, Vishakha, holding that one and reading from this one, that's very good. Oh, Dhyaya Radha, Krishna is so full of love for you that he's look at this. That's amazing. Look how intelligent he has suddenly become. This is a big thing for the Sakis to say. Because other times when they're in Leela, Vishakha and Lalita, they're saying, Radharani, it's useless to play any intelligent games with this coward boy. All day long he's running behind the cows. He, Shabli, he, Dabali, he, Gange, he, Saraswati, he, Tunga, you know, he, woo, he. So you associate all day with the cows, and then you'll become like a cow. And a cow has intelligence, very good intelligence, and it's called buddhi. Buddhi. And because a cow is an animal means pashu, cow has pashu buddhi. So all the sakis know, and especially Radharani, that Krishna has pashu buddhi, animal brain. So therefore, he can't win any games. He can never win Pashukeva. Pashukeva, he always loses. Prahali, he always loses. Pashukeva is a board game where you move, so something like chess. And then there's, and Radharani always wins. And then there's Prahali. Prahali means solving riddles. So Radharani says, who is like this, like this, like this? Krishna's like, I don't know. D-U-N-N-O. I don't know. Bruno. I don't know. I don't know. And then Vishakha says, say something more simple. So then they say, this guy's useless. So now she's saying, look, that person has suddenly become Swaha, Suvideva Bhakta, Swaha. So this is a good joke. Radharani, can you appreciate to the extent of how much he loves you? It's like, and he's also become very expert at discriminating the fine points of philosophy and literature. Look at his glance. It's so peaceful, so relaxed, so contented. It admits tolerance and patience. And his words are very meek and humble. His whole body is radiating the splendorous gravity of a great philosopher. And this is Krishna? What an amazing display of costume. So this is an example that Buddha Goswami cites, which of course it's a lila. It puts us in the right direction of Aparana Lila and Surya Kund, so we can go deeper into that. But Jiva Goswami wants us to think about this. So he says, oh, Radharani, Vishakha is saying, Radharani, you cannot avoid the association of your elders, like Jatila, who is standing right here. So because of that, your Krishna has assumed the dress of a priest, a worshiper of Surya, just to see you without being detected by others. Just see how sweetly Shyam glances at you. So this, he says, because Vishakha is making a very nice point, because she's saying about, look what he looks like, look how he's behaving, look how he's glancing, look how he's speaking. Because all these descriptions and qualities and characteristics that Vishakha was describing, these are the qualities of the Brahman. But Krishna's eyes, Vishakha is saying, oh, look at Krishna's eyes. They're so tolerant and patient. And Krishna's eyes are totally red in both corners, because he's totally agitated every second. He's not patient at the least, and he's not tolerant either. So, and then he doesn't speak in a very tolerant, humble way. And he lies, he does so many things. So that they're really amazed. Who is this? I mean, even we're fooled by his costume, his adopting this. He's so Brahminical that he's more than a Brahmin. I mean, he's too Brahminical. We don't even hardly recognize him. He's filled with modesty. And one of his qualities as a hero is he's proud, he's boastful, he's egoistic, and he gets angry. So none of the heroes are saying he's like, well, the deer Ashanta is something like this. Of course he could be, and that's what Jiva Goswami said. He's showing anukulya. He's very favorable to Radharani. He went to that extent. But the characteristics, the temperament, the quality and tone of his speech, and everything about his whole demeanor and presentation is very shanti, shanti, shanti. So this is the Dhirashant Anukul Nayak. And there's the Dhiradatta Anukul Nayak in section 4. You know, it was Vishnu's commentary about he's glancing at you. And then I guess we'll continue verse 31 tomorrow. We'll discuss Radha and Krishna and Radha-Sudhanidhi. But it's only Radha Krishna and Radha Krishna and Radha Krishna. Because this is Ujjal Nilamani, all about Madhurya Ras. So obviously Radha Krishna Gopis. And Radha-Sudhanidhi is all about Radharani principally, and also Krishna and her Madhuri Sakis.